Yeah, who's a baby? It's 1930 UTC, the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always begins. My name is Tobe. I am the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee. And I am up here in my bathroom. Yeah, with the kitty. Hi, Pippa. What are you doing? You want to talk on the radio? Pippa's kind of yangy because as soon as she heard me turn the water on in the bathtub, of course she's got to come running in. Oh, let's be kitties in the bathroom. That'll be fun. Yeah. So yeah, here we are on this lovely, lovely Friday. Oh my God. Yeah, so anyway, here's the plan. Here's the idea. Here's what's going on. Here's what's going down in Kitty Town today. I have to go to PT. I have to go to physical therapy. I have to go up to the hospital today for a physical therapy session for my shoulder. What are you doing, Pippa? Hi. Be careful, you're going to get drips splashed on you. Oh, hi. So, Pippa's standing on the floor with her feet up on the bathtub, just trying to rub her face up against my arm. Hi. Yes, you're a good kitty. Yeah, you're a good baby. Oh, it's so fun to watch the bathtub fill up with water. Hi. Hi. Yes, hi, you're the kitty. You gonna jump up here? Yeah, it's so dangerous. Alright, so now I've got my cat sitting on the edge of the bathtub along with my giant cup of tea that I think I'm gonna take a sip of because suddenly I'm thirsty. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Delicious, delicious tea for me. Cat jumps back down. Okay, fine, whatever. Alright, so anyway. Yeah, I've got physical therapy today. And that's why I'm in the bathtub. Because I have this idea. Ugh. Ow. I have this idea. I'm thinking that if I'm in the bathtub and vasodilating before I go to physical therapy, then somehow that will make physical therapy less painful. Because, come on, these people have been trying to rip my arm off. It's very painful, blah, blah, blah. And so, I'm thinking that if I sit here and soak for a while, that'll loosen me up. That'll help in 85 different ways. Then once I get out of the bathtub, I'll do some warm-up exercises. I'll do all of my exercises that I'm supposed to do on a daily basis, and I'll do it before I go. I'll get out, blah, 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 do these exercises, and then I'll head off to PT. And somehow this will help me, you know, have a better afternoon where I'm not just rolling around in post-therapy agony. So that's the plan. Is this plan going to work? Well, I don't know. I don't know. But doing this is probably better than doing nothing. So this is the plan I'm going with. And now the bathtub's getting a little full, so we can turn the water off, I guess. Now, okay, get in there. Turn the water off with my toes. Yeah, because I got skills. I got bathtub skills. Yeah, you got bathtub skills too, huh? Pippa just meowed and jumped up on the toilet. Yeah, I turned the water off. Does that mean you're going to have to come over here and sit on the edge of the bathtub and drink bathtub water and do crazy kitty stuff because you're craziness? Yes, look at your face. Oh, your face is so fluffy. You got the fluffy kitty face. It's so nice. Yeah, so that's what I'm doing today. Oh, damn it. Well, I can do that when I get out. I was going to try to remember to prep my lunch. You may remember a couple days ago I bought some beef. I've still got the last portion left, and I was going to, before I started doing the show, I was going to throw that beef in a marinade so that it could marinate for a few hours while I'm at PT and everything, and then I can come back and cook up some lunch, because I got some bell peppers all sliced up and ready to go, and I got some onions all sliced up and ready to go. So after I get out of the bathtub and before I do anything else, I gotta remember, put the beef in the marinade. What marinade am I gonna use today? Well, I sort of used up all my cucumber marinade. Oh, bro, hi, what are you brewing me? Yeah, here comes Peppa. She's up. Got her paws on the edge of the bathtub now. Oh, hi. Hi, yeah, I gotta rub your face against my arm, because you're the kitty. Yeah, hi. Hello. Hello, yes. Are you gonna try to jump? There you go. So now my cat's on the edge of the bathtub. Is she going to step on my knees like she likes to do? My cat will, she'll get down there and she'll say, hey, maybe I can bridge myself across the water, and she'll stand on my knees, which are, you know, sticking out of the water about 3 inches, or about, you know, 5 centimeters or so. Well, I guess it would be more like 7.5 centimeters, but anyway, this always makes me nervous, because if my cat slips and falls, she will go into the water. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a cat who does not like water, who has fallen into the water, but they go a little bit crazy and do everything they can to get out of it. Thanks. Cat's knocking stuff off the sink counter now. She jumped up onto the toilet, onto the back of the toilet, walked across the towel rack, is now on the kitchen, on the sink counter. She's knocking stuff off, like a roll of toilet paper. Hey, you want to knock my clothes off, too? That would be nice. So anyway, apparently she's not going to do it today, but Pippa will stand on my knees. And I don't have a problem with that, but I do worry. What if she falls? Because if she falls, she'll go crazy. And my cat has all of her claws. I'm not the kind of person to declaw cats. I do not think that's a good idea. So my kitty has all her claws, and if she falls into the water, she's going to be clawing her way out of the bathtub as fast as possible. And who's in the way? That's right, me and my bare legs. And what are you doing in the sink, Peppa? Now she's in the sink. Crazy kitty business. Crazy cat stuff. That's what we like. Oh. So yeah, I'm trying to get loosened up. Trying to get my muscles all loosened up. Trying to get my arm loosened up. Yeah. Trying to vasodilate. Make all of my little blood vessels swell. Get that blood pumping around. Doing its job. delivering oxygen to my brain and other things. So yeah, here I am, sitting in the bathtub. What are you doing up there? You better not be... Okay, now the cat's into something, and I don't know what she's found. What did you do? Uh-oh, did she find the little plastic bag of rubber bands? If she finds the rubber bands, it's all over. I don't know if you can hear that, but she's crunching on something plastic. Usually when she's up there, she ends up finding, like, some of my hair scrunchies and stuff, and she'll flip them out over onto the floor, then she'll jump down to the floor, then she'll shove them under the door, and the next thing I know, I find them in the kitchen. What are you doing up there? Cat is chewing on something plastic, and what's plastic up there? I think the only thing plastic up there is that bag of rubber bands. Yeah, okay, thanks for not doing anything weird. How about you just jump down and be a good kitty instead of being annoying as hell kitty? He wants to jump down and be nice, baby. Nope. She's just looking for stuff to steal up there. I hope the bag of cotton balls is closed. I'm pretty sure it is. At one point in time, and this started up, when did this start up? Not too long ago. Okay, she jumped down. Somehow Pippa discovered that cotton balls are fun. And so she was taking cotton balls out of the bag. And she would play with them and she would take them to other places in the house. And then eventually I find, you know, this wad of cotton that's been stretched out and shredded and chewed on a little bit. And that's always fun. Oh, that is always fun. Oh, boy. Ooh, I'm going to sit up here for a minute. What's a bad baby doing now? Oh, you're trying to get into the cabinets. Yeah. I've got a big package that's half full of toilet paper blocking the cupboards under the sink. So hopefully she won't be able to get in there. But I don't know if she's managed to get in there before. Okay, yeah, here's a little kitty trick. She's down on the ground, trying to pull the cabinet open from below. Oh, that's a tricky kitty. Oh, yeah. Good tea. Good tea. Oh. All right, so last night... What are you doing? Kitty business. So last night I was... What was I watching? Oh, I was watching... I was watching parts of this anime that I've actually seen before, but I thought, oh yeah, this is great. I got nothing else to do. I'm going to watch this. And it was Kuma Miko. The anime about the young girl who's like 12 years old or so. She lives in a small village out in the country in Japan, and she is the Miko of the village shrine. She's the shrine girl. And she's friends with a bear. She lives with a bear. Because the bear is sort of the living god of the shrine up there in the mountains. It's great. It's a great, great cartoon. It's cute. It's funny. It's entertaining. And I'm still very suspicious about my cat. She might be going out. Is she trying to pull the door open? Yes. Oh, yay. No more worrying about the cat destroying stuff in the bathroom. I'm happy. Hooray! It's these small victories that I celebrate the most. So anyway, I finished watching some of this anime. I went back to, you know, sort of the main page of videos on YouTube and wah, wah, wah. And there's a recommendation for me that I need to watch this clip of Joe Rogan having a conversation with Henry Rollins. And I thought, okay, that's strange. Why is Joe Rogan talking to Henry Rollins? And if you don't know who Joe Rogan is, I didn't know he had a podcast or whatever he's doing on YouTube, but apparently he does. I know him as the guy who was the host of Fear Factor. Remember that totally stupid and inane show, Fear Factor, that burst onto the scene, got huge, and then sort of disappeared? He was the host of that. And then he became a commentator for the UFC. So whenever you see a UFC fight, he's always the guy talking about the fight. And I thought, what's this clown doing talking to Henry Rollins? So yeah, I had to watch it. And it was interesting. It was pretty good. Not, you know, for anything that Joe Rogan did or said. But come on, he's talking to Henry Rollins. You know it's going to be something totally awesome. And it was. And I was like, yay. And then there was some other stuff, some other clips of him talking to Henry Rollins, which I watched. And that was great. And this tea is great. Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of Henry Rollins. And, you know, now that I sit here and think about it, out of all the, you know, sort of like famous people who I've gone to see Henry Rollins the most. Either when he was playing in a band or if he was just doing his spoken word stuff. I became a fan of Henry Rollins back when I was in high school. And actually, I would say that would be the most accurate thing. Right about when I entered high school, I sort of knew who he was. This is back when he was in Black Flag. I knew who he was before that because, I was a big skater. And when you're a skate guy, you're listening to different music than other people. And so the summer before I was in high school, me and Booper, we found some guys who had built a ramp in their backyard. We were hanging out with these guys we didn't know. And they turned me on to Black Flag. They played Black Flag a lot when we were skating. And I thought, oh, this is great. This is exactly the music I want to listen to, you know, when I'm dropping in. And I vaguely remember Booper bought a Black Flag tape, and I think I may have copied it. And listening to that. And by the time I got into high school a couple of months later, I was familiar enough with the band, and I knew, yeah, there's this guy named Henry Rollins in the band. And it was about that time that Henry had started writing, or at least he had started releasing some of the stuff that he was writing. And for various reasons, I vaguely remember that somebody was passing around a fanzine, and it was a pretty worthless piece of crap fanzine, but like the one redeeming feature it had was there was one page that had a photocopy of a piece that Henry Rollins wrote right out of one of his early books, his self-published books that you could only get by like writing him, sending him money. Yeah, this is back when he lived in the shed. And so I read this thing that he wrote, and I just thought it was so great. And I remember what it was called. It was called Cockroaches Are Your Gods. And it's this kind of funny rant about how cockroaches are, you know, the superior species. They're, you know, the gods of mankind. And, you know, he wrote this back when he lived in this shed with a bunch of cockroaches. So he was studying them fairly closely. Oh, and that started my fascination with Henry Rollins. And after that, it was shortly after that, probably not even a week later, Booper bought one of his books. And I read that, and I'm like, man, this guy is awesome and intense. And then it wasn't long after that, probably a few months after that, I got to see Black Flag play for the first time. They came to town, and where did they play? They played the Music Hall. And me and Booper and a couple other guys, we went down there, and oh my God, what an... Hi, kitty. The cat's back. This is probably the most intense show I've ever seen up until that point. It was just crazy. There was two opening bands, both of which Greg Ginn played in, along with the Black Flag set. So Greg Ginn, I swear to God, he played like 3.5 hours straight in three different bands. It was insane. But when it was time to come for Black Flag to come on stage, the rest of the band was playing, going through that vamp riff that they called the trudge riff, if you know what I'm talking about. And this goes on for a few minutes. Then Rollins comes out on stage, and he's got nothing on except for like a short pair of black nylon shorts. And he comes out, and this is when he was back when he still had long hair and was kind of skinny, but he was very wiry because, you know, that's how you get when you're that kind of guy. He comes out and he walks out on stage wearing nothing but that pair of black shorts and carrying a water bottle. He walks over, he sets the water bottle down on the drum riser. He grabs the microphone off the mic stand, wraps the, you know, mic cord around his arm 4 or 5 times, and then just launches full send. And it was the most insane thing I'd ever seen. The absolutely most intense show ever. And I'm, you know, I'm like 10 rows back and just going, holy crap. I love this guy. I love this band. And so was it that time that we met him? Eventually, for one of these shows, we were backstage and met the guy. And he was cool as hell. Funny. Really nice and polite guy, but especially at the time, he just sort of had that edge on him. And you sort of saw that edge lurking behind his eyes. It was awesome. Jeez, and then fast forward a few more years. How many years? Fast forward about 4 or 5 years. And maybe 3 or 4 years. I was out of school. Out of high school. But I think this was before I went to college. And so I was dating this girl. Her name was Maria. And her mom was named Maria. She was really cute. She was half Spanish. Real cute girl. And I was dating her. And hadn't been dating her for long. We probably had only gone out like once or twice. And I called her up, or she called me up or something on the weekend. And like, yeah, let's go out. Blah, blah, blah. What's going on? I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. Come and get me and we'll go out. So she comes and she picks me up. And we go up to a bar called the Lift Ticket. And yeah, we were both underage, but it's kind of a special occasion. And so we go up to the bar. And I'm like, do you know what's going on here tonight? And she said, no. And I was like, awesome.
because Henry Rollins was going to be speaking there that night. He wasn't there playing in his band. This was, I think, his first spoken word tour. And he had stopped in town, and I knew he was going to be there, and she didn't. And so we go in, and she's assuming that we're there to see a band or something, because she's in the music scene. I'm in the music scene. The lift ticket was a music bar, and blah, blah, blah. This is a strange bar. It was kind of strangely shaped. It was sort of your basic sort of, you know, shotgun type layout, but there had been some change to it, or it's sort of this funny L-shaped bar. And so, and the stage was down in the L, in the dog leg, right? So we got there a little bit early, and there wasn't a whole hell of a lot of people there at the time. And so we got some soft drinks or something. Like I said, we were underage at the time, so we weren't... or were we? I think I was 21 at that point, but she might have been underage. But it doesn't matter. I didn't drink back then. So we're sort of standing there hanging out, and we're sort of standing at the bend of the L. And that way, you know, I can look all the way down. I can see anybody coming into the bar and blah, blah, blah. And we're in a good place to then find a seat for the show and blah, blah, blah. So we're standing there, just talking and killing time before the show starts, right? And like I said, I was looking down the bar towards the door, and I can see somebody coming in and starts walking up the length of the bar. And it's Henry Rollins, right? And he's got on a pair of shorts and a loose t-shirt. And this is still when he had his long hair. Still had long hair at the time. And he comes walking up because he's going to the stage. He's kind of going to go back and blah, blah, blah. And he comes up right up to me, and he sees me. And he stops and he goes, "Oh, hey, man." Okay, because this guy recognizes me from the last time he was in town. And I go, "Hey, what's up?" He's like, "Oh, I'm glad you came out here tonight and blah, blah, blah." I'm like, "Yeah, this is going to be great." It's like, and he said something like, "Oh, there's not a lot of people here." I go, "Oh, don't worry, it'll fill up." It's like, and he's like, "Okay, cool, I gotta go." I'm like, "All right, man, I'll talk to you later." You know, this exchange doesn't take like 15 seconds. And Maria is just standing there watching this whole thing. And then afterwards, she goes, "Huh. That guy kind of looks like Henry Rollins." And I just, as you know, as cool as I possibly could, I said, "Well, yeah, that guy is Henry Rollins." And she's like, "What?" And she starts wigging out. Not really. She's just like, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah, Henry's talking tonight. We're going to check it out and blah, blah, blah." She's like, "Awesome. It was a cool show. It was so cool." And the best part of it was, is this girl, Maria, she didn't know what was happening. She gets surprised. And then she's, you know, talking to Henry Rollins out of nowhere. My stock in her book went way up. So that was awesome, but I gotta go. You've been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC right here on Anon Radio. I'm in the bathtub. I have to go to physical therapy later, so bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yo.